peace from Him who alone can give you eyes to see Jesus. I read these words again from our gospel lesson. Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then He anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." What do you claim for yourself? Please be seated. In Jesus' name. You know, an amazing thing has happened to me as I've gotten older. Some of you know this. My vision actually has gotten better. Can you believe it? I took God to take after my dad. I went to the optometrist this last year, and she said to me, "You don't need bifocals anymore." She changed my prescription because I can read better without my glasses. Amazing thing. I just need them for distance, but even there I can see pretty good, a little fuzzy. It's an amazing thing. My wife, of course, her eyes are going the opposite direction, which most people's do. The only problem with that, as you can imagine, is I can't remember where I put my glasses half the time because I'm taking them off. In fact, I'm not sure where they are now. I think I put them over there. I'm not sure. I'll check later. But that's another story. This gospel lesson talks about vision too, doesn't it? Lent is a time, really, when we should have our vision checked. We're supposed to go in for annual checkups so we don't have macular degeneration or some strange disease like that. Spiritually, Lent is a good time to have our spiritual eyes checked. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Are your eyes getting cloudy? Are you not seeing clearly because you're distracted by other things? The introit picks up this theme of seeing clearly, doesn't it? My eyes are always toward the Lord to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Again, I ask, is your vision cloudy? Jesus needs to clear up your vision. Come, fix your eyes on Jesus. The problem, of course, is that like the man in our gospel lesson who was born blind, that's our situation. Born blind and dead in our sins. Spiritually, that is. Far more serious, though, for this man that he had been born physically blind was the fact that he was spiritually blind. It was bad enough that he was physically blind. Think about it. He'd never seen his mother's face. Never seen a flower. Never seen the sunrise or sunset, the stars at night. Never saw any of that that we take so much for granted, those of us who can see. But again, far worse than that was he didn't see Jesus. All he faced in his life was a life of begging and poverty. People rejected him. They actually accused him, as you heard the disciples, who sinned, this man or his parents, and he was born blind. In other words, people assumed about the blind man, he must be a bad sinner. That's why he was born blind. In this morning's epistle lesson, St. Paul reminds all of us that we were in a similar situation by nature, weren't we? He says, "Once you were darkness." It's always been interesting how Paul puts that. He doesn't say, "Once you were in darkness." He says, "Once you were darkness." In other words, we contribute to the darkness around us by what we say, how we act, how we spend our money. Do we really enlighten anybody by what we say? Or do we make their lives darker by what we say and how we act? Every Christmas, that text from Isaiah that we read always puzzles me too. The people are walking in darkness. You've heard this before, but the Hebrew word walking, holikim in Hebrew, halak is one of the most common words in the Hebrew Bible for walking. It's just a common word, walking around. And I've always been amazed that Isaiah writes it like that. Who walks around in the darkness as though you're in the light? He should have said that people are crawling in the darkness, stumbling in the darkness, groping around in the darkness, not walking around, but doesn't that describe humanity? People walking around as though they can see clearly when they're bumping into this stupid idea and that philosophy and this one, and they have no concept, no clue what they're doing on this planet, and certainly no clue whatsoever as to what's going to happen when they're dead. So they just like to ignore the whole business. You see, had Jesus not restored our sight, that would describe you and me too, wouldn't it? bumping around into one silly idea and another, having no idea who we are, why we're here, if there's a God, what does he think about me, what am I going to do? In fact, we would face only eternal darkness. Isn't that what the Bible warns us? That those who do not believe in him, do not see clearly Jesus, will be thrown into outer darkness forever and ever. The psalmist cries out, though, "The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness." That's why Jesus came, to lighten our darkness. And by doing that, he's showing himself clearly, quite obviously, that he is God. And that's why Jesus often worked miracles to illustrate this, right? Like this one today, very dramatic. He takes this blind man, he mixes some dirt with some saliva, puts it on his eyes, and says, "Go wash." And the man stumbles off. You can just see him. Maybe somebody led him. I don't know. But he stumbles over. Here's the pool of Siloam. He reaches down on his hands and knees, takes the water, splashes it. Boom! He can see. What's the first thing he might have seen? His own reflection, maybe, in the water, huh? And he could see the clear, beautiful water there that he'd been drinking for years, and now I know what it looked like. And he looks around. You can just see him looking around all over, taking in all these sights he'd never seen before. Flowers and trees and people. Maybe his parents were standing there. He saw his dear mother's face for the first time in his life. I don't know. What kind of reaction would you have had? Had you been blind from birth, and suddenly, boom, you have sight. Would be an amazing thing, I think. Of course, the man, you know, was asked, "How could you see, you know?" And he says, "Well, the man put mud on my eyes." And then they said, "How could that work?" And the man gave just a nice little confession. "I sure don't know how it works. One thing I do know, I see." And we might take that little analogy and compare it to baptism. We say, water doesn't save us. God's word does. And you could certainly say that about this miracle, couldn't you? How could mud do such a great thing? Heal that guy's blindness. The answer would be, certainly not just mud did it, but God's word mixed with the mud and the faith of the blind man to do what Jesus told him to do, that's what did it. The more amazing miracle, though, in this story today is not just the man's physical sight being restored. The more amazing miracle, probably much more important to him, was that he's given that day spiritual eyesight to see Jesus for who he really was. And you see his progression through this text. The man told me. Then he calls him a prophet. Then he calls him the Son of Man. And then he calls him God because he worships him. And that word worship is you only of God. And his vision gets clearer and clearer and clearer until he knows exactly who Jesus is. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what this man does here. And he's happy. He knows his sins are forgiven. He knows he now is God's child. This story of the blind man has been used as a symbol of faith and new life throughout the history of the church. In fact, in the ancient church, this story with the ones we've heard the last two or three weeks were used regularly during the Lenten season to talk about what happens in baptism. You are illuminated. And the early church fathers called baptism an illumination. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. By the way, that epistle lesson where Paul quotes, you might have seen his little indention there, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead." Most theologians believe that was an ancient hymn sung at baptisms. As the person came out of the darkness and they were baptized, and then the priest said to them, "Wake up now, you are now in light. You have been enlightened, you are illuminated." Just as Jesus gave sight to that blind man years ago with mud and his word, he does the same thing for us today, doesn't he? Not with mud, but with simple water and his word. As St. Paul writes, God saved us through the washing of rebirth. And that phrase echoes Jesus' own words we heard him say to Nicodemus a couple weeks ago. "Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God." And I'm sure St. Paul has those words of Jesus in mind when he says, God gave us the new birth of water and the Spirit. How does this happen? Well, we don't know, but we know that God does it. How can he work through water? Again, we might not have an answer, but we know he does. Just like this man was asked, how could that mud cleanse you? And he says, I don't know, but one thing I do know, I washed and now I can see. And that is our answer too. If people ask us about how can water do such great things, we say, I don't know, but one thing I do know, I'm now a Christian. I know who Jesus is. I know why I'm in on this planet. I know where I'm going. I know that he has paid my debt for me. And I know when I die, I'm going to see him eyeball to eyeball, face to face. How can water do such great things? Well, it's not the water, for crying out loud. Water's just water. It's the Word of God which is with the water that does it, just like in this sacramental action here, where Jesus takes mud and attaches his promise, go wash, and you'll be able to see. You know, Martin Luther teaches this in the Large Catechism, that even though the pastor may pour the water on us, even though the pastor says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we should not doubt that it is the risen Christ himself who is giving us the new birth. Listen to what Luther writes in the Large Catechism. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized by God himself. And he goes on and says, even though it might be performed by human hands, it is still truly God's own work. And hence, when the pastor baptized you, he didn't say, God baptizes you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He used the first person pronoun. I baptize you. Who is the I there? Not the minister. That's Jesus himself. As we learn elsewhere in the catechism, when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by Christ's own command, like baptizing us, this is as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our Lord dealt with himself. So I can say, having been baptized, the risen Lord called me by name. He is the one who has given me the new birth through water and his word. And you know, like this blind man here, he made such an interesting confession. He was so excited now that he not only could see things around him, but more importantly, he could see Jesus. And when Jesus comes to him and says, do you know the Son of Man? And he says, how can I know him? I don't know who he is. And Jesus says, you have now seen him. You have seen him. And I think there's more in that word, you have seen him, than just with physically. You now see him spiritually. And we know the man did, because it says in the next phrase, he worshiped him. And it caused him to make a very bold but simple confession when he was ordered by the Pharisees, give glory to God. Don't talk about Jesus. He's just a sinner. And the man, who was probably not very educated, he never could read, of course, he's blind, didn't have Braille in those days, probably completely uneducated, makes his simple confession, doesn't he? Well, whether he's a sinner, I don't know about that, but one thing I do know, I was blind, now I can see. And he worshiped him. So come, make your confession. You were blind, but now you can see. So come, fix your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. God, give us such faith of this poor beggar blind man that we might make such a bold confession of our faith to, as simple as it may be. One thing I know, I am and was a sinner, but I am baptized. My sins are forgiven. Would you join me and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found in the inside back cover of your hymn book? Please rise.